In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And because of our beautiful greenery, it'd be very hard to see me up there. So I thought I'd preach more close in the middle of the church. It's really hard to know what to speak of when one is thinking about speaking about the Holy Spirit. Everything that we have is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enlightens us, strengthens us, comforts us, even prays for us. When I was reading the scriptures before, and of course hearing them in the service last night, tonight, or excuse me, this morning, there are always certain ones that just sort of grab at me. I hope that happens to you. I hope that there are certain scriptures that just comfort you very much, and that you hear, and that they really comfort your soul. There should be a lot of those scriptures in your life. I have dozens of them, to be honest. Sort of a running joke in my family what my favorite scripture is, because I keep saying a different one each time. And you should have that too. Read the scriptures and develop a great familiarity with them. And so as I was listening to the scriptures last night, reading them the previous time, and then reading them over them again this morning, there were things that just sort of hit me. So I don't know. I don't really have something particularly coherent to say today, because the Holy Spirit is too difficult to speak of. But there are scriptures that are quite profound and beautiful, and perhaps they'll move your heart. Perhaps one of you will be moved by one or more of these things. In Numbers, the first reading for Vespers, the Lord is saying to Moses that he wants to have 70 men to be judges and to be filled with the Spirit as he it was. And so he says to Moses, I will take of thy spirit, and I will give it to them, that they may bear with thee the burden of the people, that thou mayest not be burdened alone. The thing that strikes me is he says, I will take of thy spirit. Well, the spirit that he's speaking of is the spirit that is given to him, that is the Holy Spirit. Moses was filled with the Holy Spirit, so he was really speaking of taking of the Holy Spirit and giving it to the men. It's a very personal and intimate thing. God chooses to live within us, chooses to give us of himself. Now, we are not at all like God. We are straw and he is fire. When you put straw and fire together, the straw burns up. And yet, when fire is put within our vessels of straw, we're not burned up. God gives us of himself. This is a great privilege. This is the privilege that no other creature has. The angels don't have this privilege. Certainly none of the animals have this privilege. Only man has the privilege that God abides within him, and that God gives of himself to them. That is an amazing thing. This is yet another thing that I've said this about other things before. If you recognize that you are one with humanity, you'd never sin. Well, this is another one. If you recognize that God gives of his spirit to you, you who are not like him in any way whatsoever, and yet he chooses to make you like him by grace, you'd never sin if you really understood that. If you really believed that, you'd never sin. We'd have no sin in our life at all if we really recognize God gives of himself to us. That's amazing. It rolls off our lips. We can say it in catechism. We can say it dogmatically. But think what's happening. We are vessels of the Holy Spirit. We don't deserve it. We're not anything like God. And yet, God chooses to live within us, to purify us. That's amazing. At the end of this reading, there were two prophets that were prophesying not where they were supposed to. They weren't following the rules. I like those prophets because I'm not much of a rule follower. I hate rules. I knew the principal in school on a first name basis. I saw him almost every day because I didn't like rules. But then I found rules that made sense. The church makes sense. I follow those rules because those are the rules of life. So basically, to get me to follow rules, I just had to find rules that made sense. But these prophets were prophesying outside of the camp against the rules. And people go to Moses to complain, to tattle on them. And he says, "Oh, that all the people might prophesy, and that the Lord would give them his spirit." Do you know what that is? That's a prophecy. That's a prophecy that the Holy Spirit would be given to us, to all men that believe. That's also a heartfelt plea and desire of Moses and of every Christian. It's also the deep desire of every pastor that his people would be filled with the Spirit. It's the whole purpose of your life, is to be filled with the Spirit so that you could prophesy. Not about predicting things, but about knowing of God, knowing him intimately and personally, because he abides in you. That's what we were born for. And all the way back in Numbers, with all those rules and all those washings and all those sacrifices and all those offerings and all that complicated stuff, here is what it's really all about. Oh, that the Lord would give them his Spirit. And he has. The third reading for Vespers speaks of the Lord speaking, saying, "I will take you from among the Gentiles. I will gather all your countries. I will bring you into your own land." Speaking of not a land on earth, not a country, but salvation, the New Jerusalem. And then he says, "I will pour upon you clean water. And you should be cleansed of all your filthiness." I like that. I like hearing that. Because I'm not very clean. And if you're honest with yourself, you'll say you're not very clean either. We need to be clean. Water cleanses. That's why a symbol of the Holy Spirit is water. Clean water. What a wonderful thing to be completely clean. That's what excited me the most about true Christianity. When I first heard of Christ, it was in the context of he forgives your sins. That's all anybody taught me. He forgives your sins because of dying on the cross. But it just didn't seem enough to me. I wanted to be clean. And then I saw, by the grace of God, the true church that believes this. For us, salvation is to be clean, not to be forgiven. That's only part of it. To be completely clean. To have nothing in our heart that is dirty. Nothing that constricts us. To be completely open and alive. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He cleanses us. Makes us completely alive. The Lord goes on to say, "I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I'll give you a heart of flesh. That's basically saying the same thing as I will pour it upon you clean water, but in a more powerful way. I've told you many times, and it's on the record, you could probably find 250 references to it in all the sermons that I've recorded, that I wish that you would feel in your heart your uncleanness, that you'd be dissatisfied with the kind of person you are, that you'd be unhappy with that person, that you'd want to be different, that you'd feel your weakness and even your depravity. And then reach out to God and desire with all your heart that your heart would be made of flesh, not of stone, that it would feel God, that it would contain God, that it would be warm and not cold, and have only love in it and no hate. To me, this is the definition of a Christian. That he desires to have a completely new heart. Sure, there are dogmatic things that we must believe, but I know a lot of people that believe dogmatic things and they don't seem like they're really that have this heart. You have to have a heart that desires God, that wants to be completely changed. That's the definition of a Christian, that you see yourself as you are and you want to be different. You want to be clean. You want to be alive. You want to have a heart of flesh, not of stone. And all these things can happen because the Holy Spirit lives within you. But you have to cultivate the Holy Spirit living within you. This must be the most important truth in your life, that your heart can be made completely new and that the Spirit can abide within your heart and your heart is no longer cold and stony, but it's warm and of flesh. This has to be the abiding truth in your life. You have to live according to this truth. And again, if you really understood this truth, if I understood this truth, none of us would sin. We have to cultivate this truth in our life. I keep thinking of a verse that is from Thessalonians. We were talking about it last night and we thought it was from Timothy, but I looked it up. All Paul says is, quench not the Spirit. That's it. He's giving kind of a list of things. He says, pray without ceasing. He says something else. I don't remember which. Then he says, quench not the Spirit. And then he says, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. This is the key, brothers and sisters. We're vessels of the Holy Spirit. Why don't we see angels? Why don't we perform miracles? Why don't we raise the dead? Why don't the poor hear the gospel from our lips and from the way we live and believe? Why is that? It should be. If we're vessels of the Holy Spirit, if we don't cover up the Holy Spirit. But, alas, we live in a mediocre way. May God forgive us for this. You must learn to always evaluate everything in your life, everything, about whether or not it quenches the Spirit or brings the Spirit closer to you, enlivens you more in the Spirit. Everything is that kind of decision. It's really a binary thing. It's either for God or against God. I understand that there are nuances of things in life. Life is complicated. I understand that. But I'm speaking in a general way. The way you live is either for God or against God. And if you live with this deep desire to have your heart be made new and changed, and to be a vessel of the Holy Spirit and be a flesh, no longer of stone, then you will always see everything in life as an opportunity to further the Spirit being within you, to be a bigger vessel of the Holy Spirit. And so, St. Paul's words, quench not the Spirit, will always be what guides you. I don't mean guides you by you think of that verse when you're doing something. I mean that you want nothing in your life to get in the way of the Holy Spirit illuminating you. That's why there are commandments. All the commandments are because either doing the thing that is forbidden or not doing the thing that is commanded puts us in a state where we are quenching the Spirit. And the Spirit then does not illumine us. And the Spirit is our life. The Spirit is everything. So we must every day cultivate these feelings. Now, I've told you many, many times, you've heard it before, I suppose I'll tell you again, you should read the Scriptures every day. You should pray with feeling every day. You should know that the only task you have today is to be a Christian, is to have a heart that's being renewed, made new, a little bit every day. That's your only task. It's not to go to work, not to make dinner, not to, you know, do investments on your 401k, not anything else. It's all about having your heart be made new. That's your task today. We all have the same exact task. So let us feel God within us. If you don't feel God within you, then learn to feel Him. Learn to feel Him by praying, by reading, by fasting, by struggling against your passions, by listening to that voice within you, by feeling in your heart when things are right and things are wrong. I'll tell you an easy way. I think all of us, no matter how advanced we are spiritually or not, you would understand this. All of us have had difficulties with a person before. We don't like them for some reason. Maybe they didn't do something we liked. They did something we didn't like, or they lied to us, or they hurt us, or they're loud mouth, or maybe they're prettier than we are, or smarter than we are. Whatever it is, there's a person that we've had in our life, probably multiple ones, that we just don't like. And when that person walks into the room, or when a person mentions that person, or we hear that person has something good happen to them, or that person is brought to our mind, you can tell there's something wrong with you when your heart shrivels a little bit. You can feel it in your heart. You can feel that there's something icky in your heart. I think all of us should be able to feel that. That's quenching the Spirit. That feeling. And it cuts us off from God. There's many other occurrences that can quench the Spirit, but I think this is one that we can all understand, because we're all people who, you know, get people that get on our nerves. So I think you understand that. Learn to cultivate the Spirit being within your heart. There's no actual cookbook to do it. There's no instruction manual. The Spirit Himself teaches us how to cultivate having Him in our heart. Now, there are auxiliary things, like I said, prayer, fasting, reading the Scriptures. If you don't do those things, I don't think you really have much of a shot at having the Holy Spirit abide in your heart. But it's much deeper than that. Those are only the beginning. The most important thing, the thing that defines whether you are a Christian or not, is your desire Do you desire to have a new heart? God will give one to you then. All you need to do is desire. Of course, with desire comes effort, comes follow through. But all you need to do is desire. So my prayer for you as a pastor is that you would have a deep desire in your heart for God to renew you. And if you have that desire, I know things are going to be fine with you. God will fill you. Your sins will eventually be washed away. You'll eventually overcome things, and things will be just fine. May God help us to have this desire for our heart to be made new, no longer stony, but of flesh, and for the Holy Spirit to abide within us. Amen.